The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. God, you come to us on this Palm Sunday, a day that begins with procession and fanfare and brings us to the suffering of the cross. Open our minds, our hearts, to how you speak to us in all of these parts of your story. How it is that we can see the depths of your love and your compassion. Help us to understand how it is that we are to imitate you, to follow your teaching, to follow the way that you lived in our own lives. Amen. It was the time of Passover, the annual commemoration of the Jews' liberation from Egypt, and thousands streamed to Jerusalem for the celebration. By some estimates, quadrupling the population of the city. Biblical historians explain that every year at Passover, the Roman governor of Judea would ride up to Jerusalem from his coastal residence in the west. He would come in all of his imperial majesty to remind the Jewish pilgrims that Rome demanded their complete loyalty, obedience, and submission. The Jewish people could commemorate their ancient victory against Egypt and slavery if they wanted to. But if they tried any real-time resistance, the presence of the Roman soldiers reminded them that this time they would be obliterated. Pontius Pilate's procession into the city from the west was a show of power and might, intended to remind the people of their powerlessness over the forces that controlled them. Pilate was there on the authority of the Roman emperor, who in the Roman imperial religion was not just the ruler, but called the Son of God, the Savior, the Lord, who would bring about peace on earth. This peace, known as Pax Romana, was exemplified perfectly in the procession that day. It was clear in the show of force that peace was made and maintained by the exertion of power and the obliteration of any and all resistance. Biblical scholars Dominic Cross and Marcus Borg write, "Imagine the imperial procession's arrival in the city. A visual panoply of imperial power, cavalry on horses, foot soldiers, leather armor, helmets, weapons, banners, golden eagles mounted on poles, sun glinting on gold and metal.
the sounds of marching feet, the creaking of leather, the clinking of bridles, the beating of drums, the swirling of dust, the eyes of the silent onlookers. Some curious, some awed, some resentful. But that year, a second procession took place. A procession from the east. A study in contrasts with the procession from the west. A procession with no triumph or fanfare of imperial power. But instead, a gentle man riding on a donkey. This man at whose birth angels proclaimed peace on earth, and whose life had exemplified a kind of peace that was nothing at all like the propaganda of Pax Romana. His procession into Jerusalem had neither pomp nor circumstance. His clothes were ordinary. He rode not on a tall stallion, but on a humble donkey. There were no banners. The people simply waved branches from the nearby trees. But they called out to him, "Hosanna," or "Save us," as he and the donkey passed them by. There had been rumors that he was the Messiah, the chosen one who would free them from their oppression. And as they groaned under the rule of the Roman Empire, it seemed the stage was set. The revolution was about to begin. This expectation was well founded. As the prophet Zephaniah had written, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you. Humble and mounted on a donkey, he will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations." They were expecting a revolution. Jesus' time in Jerusalem would end in a revolution, of course. Would end with a new kind of freedom, would bring about a new kind of peace. It's just that none of it would happen the way that anyone was imagining. We hear in Paul's letter to the Philippians the reminder that Jesus emptied himself of the divine power that was rightfully his to take on our human nature. Born to poor parents, raised in a backwater town, a nobody from nowhere, he willingly took on an existence stripped of any markers of worldly power. And yet, in his care for the poor and the outcast, in his insistence on love over rules and tradition, his gentle presence was threatening enough to make temple authorities nervous. Jesus knew his inherent worth as a child of God and recognized the inherent worth of every single person he met. And this is a dangerous idea. For when you teach people they are worthy and loved, it becomes a threat to those in power that try to convince them otherwise. It stirs up an internal power that can topple oppressive systems. And we'll see how uneasy the powers of this world became when they encountered Jesus. At the end of this week, we'll see the culmination of the two processions entering Jerusalem from opposite sides when Jesus and Pilate finally meet on Good Friday. We'll see how this figure of imperial authority, this powerful man, grows uneasy in the presence of Jesus. Jesus doesn't fight back. He doesn't defend himself, doesn't accuse. He's mostly silent, fully himself, in full acceptance of whatever lies ahead. And it weirds Pilate out a little bit. He tries to get Jesus to talk. He wants answers from him. He can't find any reason to convict him and makes the crowd act as the ones to hand down the sentence. This man of so much worldly power, so weak when faced with true power of dignity and love. When we encounter the story of those two processions on Palm Sunday, we are reminded that there is a way of living in this world that is different from the show of wealth and power that might often get the spotlight in this world. In remembering Jesus' story, we are invited to remember all of those whose lives and work have made a difference, have changed the world not because they were mighty and powerful, but because they were diligent in works of love and mercy, healing and grace. There are the big names like Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. and Nelson Mandela, but also all those whose names we will never know, who have chosen to follow the humble example of Jesus, working quietly and gently to bring about a vision of what could be, rather than taking up the tools of power and wealth and violence and control. There is power in choosing everyday actions of love and justice and mercy and compassion. The choices we make to follow the example of our humble Messiah on a donkey, rather than getting swept up in the grand processions of the empires of this world. On this Sunday, we are faced with this contrast to remind us how it is we will truly be saved, how our world will be saved. It's not in the ways of this world, in power or wealth or empire, but as we follow the way of Jesus. May we have the courage to follow him in this way. Amen.